Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Clapback, although it's a minute early, but then again, it's Blog Talk Radio, so I still got 4:59. Why are you trying to make fun of my laptop?
Old and booty, don't you?
It's not that old. It is not that old. Seems like a few people will be over for the pay-per-view.
Somebody has to get dressed.
Yes.
Who's coming over?
Co-worker. Or former co-worker. No. I know you can't stand her, but what more can you do? Oh, God. Anyways, let's get on to the show. Unfortunately, I would play music, but unfortunately, I have no music on here. I think it's like reset and used it like in, I think, 2 months. I think it's been 2 months since I was on here last. Yeah, the last show, according to them, that I did was Clapback. So.
Well, you didn't know us even. It was around Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah, with you.
Yeah. And then you did one with Mike.
All right, I'm going to do one with him again next week.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So just watch out for that episode. And. Oh, if my laptop stopped being on the fridge with these freaking pop-ups. Just try to fix that there. So we have on the line, well, I'm going to interview today, is Chad Vandermark. He's the creator of XLW in the Wisconsin area. He does sell, like, merchandise and stuff like that, too, as well. And so... Chad, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So what's been new?
Not a whole lot, man, honestly. You know, I've had, you know, the idea of doing another show, but honestly, recently I've just been not having a whole lot to do with wrestling except going to shows and selling merchandise.
Yeah, tell me more about the merchandise and stuff you sell.
Well, I go all over the country. I was at WrestleCon 4 years ago in New Orleans. I do Heroes and Legends a lot in Indiana. Sometimes I sell stuff online. I sell DVDs, wrestling figures. Shirts, hats, basically anything that has to do with wrestling, I sell.
And, like, how's that business has been going? Because it seems like you've been traveling a lot. It seems like it's been doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I do local shows, most of the shows I do are in Indiana. And, you know, I haven't done a whole lot the last month or so, but, you know, usually I'm on the road every weekend or every other weekend anyway.
I guess just slowing down or just, like, getting more stuff on the way or something like that?
I do a lot of shows. Matter of fact, I'm supposed to make my company is Midwest Wrestling Collectibles, and we're supposed to make our debut in Texas in September. One of my friends, Sir Mo from Men on a Mission, moved Dallas, and he asked me to come do a convention down in Dallas. So.
Okay, that's cool.
Thinking about doing that, and actually, a local wrestler is supposed to go down with me in September, and since I have so much stuff to go with me, we're actually going to make the drive.
Right. Is it like the convention, like it was going to be with guests, or is it going to be like a wrestling show?
Both. Just kind of like Heroes and Legends. It's a convention,
okay.
Like a fan fest from like, say, 2 to 5 or 2 to 6, and then a wrestling show with a full card of probably 8 matches or so. I don't know what the card is supposed to be yet, though.
Yeah, because
so,
it's like nearly 2 months away, so I can understand that.
Yeah, you know, but I still try and travel around, whether I just go to a show to support indie wrestling or I set up. I still try and support local indie wrestling around Wisconsin and indie wrestling in other cities and states.
Right. So, going like backwards, like what got you like into wrestling?
Well, I started watching when I was probably 5 or 6. Started watching WWF, and then all of a sudden, I was introduced to AWA on ESPN. And also WCW. I honestly didn't know anything about WCW until it just came on TV one day and I started watching it.
Yeah, that was the same way I was. It just, like one day, like in 96, I just turned it and was like, wait a minute, what's he doing on here?
Exactly.
Like, because I saw Snow on there, I'm like, what's he doing on there? I'm like, what is this?
And I'm like, you know, who is this Johnny B. Bad guy, and then who is this William Regal, or Lord Steven Regal, and then I started watching it more and more, and of course after the famous curtain call, Hall and Nash went to the WCW, and I just started watching more and more of it.
Right, because it seemed like they had got their like. Probably more and more viewers soon, like they got some of these big guys, you know, jump ship and
well,
all
yeah.
that.
I mean, Turner and Bischoff rated the WWF talent back then, and I still think it's funny because, you know, everyone thought that Hall and Nash went over as spies for Vince. And that was never the case. But it was still fun to watch nonetheless. I mean, it was, I still remember during the Monday Night Wars when I would, you know, you would flip back and forth between Raw and Nitro.
Right. Because they were like, man, that like going back and forth and watching it. Yeah, I was doing that too. So, like, have you been watching like since like you were in the, like, WWF and stuff, where you was watching it, like, around the Hulk Hogan era or, like, the Bret Hart era or,
oh, yeah.
like, which era?
Yeah. I started watching around Hogan. I mean, I didn't see him, you know, like, win the belt in MSG in 84, but I'd say I started watching probably around 87. I think the very first thing I saw was either Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. Well, I definitely saw WrestleMania 3, so I'd probably say late 86, early 87, I started watching.
Okay, like, what did you like around that? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, that's fine. I can't remember what I was going to say anyway.
was going to say, like, because, like, around, did you like that era, like, the best?
Well, honestly, I think the era of wrestling I would say I like the best would probably be the Attitude Era. You know, Austin, DX, the New Heart Foundation, stuff like that.
So the other eras, like, did they, like, catch your interest, or, like, what was...
I've always loved wrestling, no matter what the era was. It's fun to watch, and, you know, it's nice to see wrestling evolve into what it is. I just wish that they wouldn't, you know, that... Now that the WWE is the, as they say, is the juggernaut of professional wrestling, you know, there's just a lot of stupid decisions and mistakes that they make almost weekly.
So you're talking about, like, the current stuff that they have right now?
Yeah, like the current stuff. I mean, it's fun to watch, you know, wrestling, like I said, it's fun to watch it evolve from what it was back in the 80s to what it is now, you know. But, I mean, I've said this plenty of times. It's pretty sad when the developmental system, which is NXT, is doing a hell of a lot better than the main roster stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that they prefer, you know, NXT more than the main roster.
I'm not jumping on the Triple H bandwagon or anything, but it seems like he's booking NXT a whole hell of a lot better than the writers and creative is booking for Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, because, like, have you catch up with, like, NXT or anything like that?
No, honestly, I haven't seen one match of the new NXT. I have the network, so I'm trying to play catch up on a whole lot of things. Like, for instance, I missed a year and a half of wrestling just because I got burned out from watching it. So I missed from the Raw before SummerSlam 2013 through probably half of 2015. So there's a lot I don't know about. And I'm trying to get caught up on NXT as well. So, you know, when I have time, I just watch a bunch of old wrestling to get caught up on stuff I have never seen. But I've never seen a Nakamura match on NXT, but I've seen him wrestle on SmackDown.
Oh, okay. I just thought you...
I heard that the Nakamura and Samoa Joe matches were phenomenal. But I have yet to see one.
So, yeah, that was a good match that they had on NXT.
So, are you watching the pay-per-view tonight?
We'll be watching the pay-per-view tonight. Although I missed the last two, but I'm going to be watching it tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. What do you think about this? What do you think about this Kurt Angle storyline with Jason Jordan?
As usual, I pointed out, I was just laughing my ass off and off that. But I was laughing also, just like my mind was wondering, just like, why?
They changed it at the last minute. I know what the storyline was going to be, but Eric Bischoff leaked it, so they changed it. Eric Bischoff,
yeah,
from what I'm told, Eric Bischoff leaked it on his podcast. So they changed it at the last minute.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if that was the truth.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, yeah, because it was like, because I know a lot of people were expecting, like, Dixie Carter to come out and, like, okay, they had an affair or whatever.
That's exactly
but,
what it was
like,
supposed to be, too. It was supposed, you remember the affair that when they did it on Impact with AJ?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was supposed to be like, but it was supposed to be Kurt Angle and Dixie Carter. I was told that Dixie was supposed to be on Raw this past Monday, and the whole story or the whole thing that Kurt was going to reveal was that him and Dixie has been having an affair, but since Eric Bischoff leaked it on his podcast, they changed it at the very last minute. Which I think is just dumb. Why split up American Alpha?
Well, I understand they want to, you know, push both of the American Alphas, but I do agree with you that they shouldn't split them up, at least not at this minute. If they want to do, like,
well,
four teams, but still
like,
keep them at the tag team.
Exactly. That's just like Enzo and Cass. They had no reason to split them up.
Exactly.
No reason. I mean, now they're going to job the hell out of Cass just like they're doing the Hardy Boys now. And, I mean, they're going to job the hell out of Enzo. And they're going to use Big Show to push Cass as a monster, probably. They should have just kept him as a tag team. They're not going to do anything. I don't think they're going to do anything with Enzo. They're not going to put him in the cruiserweight division. And there's really nothing for him to do on Raw. They should have just left.
Right.
They should have just left those two tag teams alone.
That's what I'm saying. I think they did it because they can. And because, like, in the beginning, like in NXT, they had high hope for, like, Jason Jordan. But at the time, it was just like in NXT, they didn't know what to do with him. So they paired him up with Chad Gable, which was good, but like you said,
like,
they should have left those tag teams alone and just let them keep
that's
going.
That's just like with Cass.
Not just do it because that they could.
That's the only reason why they did it, because they can. That's just like with Cass. They told Cass that the only reason why they signed him was because he was 7 foot tall, and they said he would never be anything. And then Enzo and Cass were a tag team in NXT, and, you know, Enzo was the shit talker, and Cass backed him up. And that was, you know, and their whole shtick was amazing. I mean, a lot of people might think it's corny, and it's kind of stupid to hear every week, but their whole shtick, and if you can talk, I mean, you know that if you could talk in wrestling, then you're good to go for the most part.
Right.
And Enzo can talk. That big goof Cass cannot talk whatsoever. So they should have, I mean, besides the fact that Cass cannot.
I think Cass got a little bit better. I'm not saying like he's one of the greatest, but he has gotten better on the mic. When he was with Enzo, and maybe like if they would have still kept him around, you know, as a tag team, maybe like a year or two more years or something like that, he probably would be up there on his mic skills. So I guess, you know, that just me just thinking. Still there? Hello? We might have lost them. Well, let's see what's going on. Oh, okay, he did disconnect it. Let's see, let me just pop up. I apologize to everyone that this happened on. With me, I'm only here. I'm sorry for the little bit of the quietness, but I can have y'all entertained by listening to Hazel theme.
AJ.
Oh, okay. You just called from a different number. I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened, but my phone got disconnected, so I just decided to call on my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
But, yeah, as I was saying, like, if they would have kept, like, Enzo and Cass together for at least for, like, about maybe, like, a year or two more years, I think he would have been great on the mic. I think it's just like.
I mean.
Yeah, too early.
I mean, like, it don't make no sense. You know, it don't make no sense because, you know, you have a natural tag team together with Enzo and Cass, but yet you keep two people, you know what I'm saying? They keep two people together that they just throw together, like Heath Slater and Rhino.
Right.
You know. If you're going to bring anybody up, break up singles wrestlers that you put together as a tag team.
So, yeah, it's just some things that they just need to learn just to leave alone, but.
You know, it's just like the old saying, if it ain't broke, then don't fix it.
Right. So, any other issues you have with them?
No, I mean, I think the quality of wrestling could be better. You know, I think they need to turn Roman Reigns heel finally. I mean, he gets booed out of damn near every building he goes into.
Yeah, that's true. But I can explain about why they won't do that because it's like they already booing the man already. So it's like, what's the point of changing him so people can, like, cheer him? So all the people that hate him just suddenly end up cheering him. You know, and I guess it's
if they already booing him, then why leave him face?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. It's like, why they booing him, don't need to mess with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their mentality from what I know. But,
yeah, I mean, the quality of wrestling is okay, you know, but, you know, they need to, you know, come up with some better storylines. You know, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, Big Show and Cass are gonna feud, but that's going to culminate at SummerSlam, probably. And then, they broke up the tag team for a month and a half feud with Paul White. Doesn't make no sense.
You're right. It don't. But just like, what more can you do, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about your history with indie wrestling with your promotion. So just tell everybody about that.
Well, I started working in wrestling about a couple of years after I came to Wisconsin. I started working for Frankie DeFalco and Bruce City Wrestling when they ran out here in Waukesha at AMF Lanes. And then
a few years later, I decided to start my own company, Extreme Limit Wrestling. So August of 2007, we ran our first show, and I ran my last show, I believe it was 2011, in the summer.
Yeah, I think I remember that show.
And
it was like
then,
it was
know,
like in October. It was like September, or October, wasn't it?
August or September, one of the two. The last show was at the in Bayview where you guys ran.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the place, but you remember, right?
Yeah, the name just constantly keep changing, and they constantly be changing owners, so.
Yeah,
I don't even know
what
I saw now.
But I've done work, all around Wisconsin for a bunch of people, DJ Bob worked for me a lot. JP, was kind of my right hand man. I used to work with Frank a lot. With Bruce City Wrestling. Sometimes, I would set up with Dysfunction shows. I would just bounce all over the place, and then I decided to start traveling. So, I went just one time or once in November, of 14, I think, or 15, I met Mo from Men on a Mission, and we hit it off pretty well, and he wanted to buy a bunch of stuff for me, so I decided to just, instead of mailing it to him, I took it down to him, and he gave me a table, so I set up his show, and that was in Tennessee, and then I just started traveling, which is fun on the weekends. But as far as indie wrestling goes, I try and support all I can, whether it's Frank or TC or Dysfunction or you guys when you run. I don't know if you've got done a show, if you've done a show lately or not, but I used to run a promotion in, I'm sure, I don't know if you know this or not, but I used to run a promotion in Indianapolis or in Indiana as well.
Yeah, I mean, you told me that a while back.
Yeah, but, trying to run two different companies in two different states can be rough sometimes. But it's still fun.
Yeah, I can understand that. Especially trying to, run in one place and run at another state, just be like hectic. But we're going to be out of time, and I appreciate you calling and just let us in with your wrestling knowledge and all that good stuff.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem. You take care of yourself and probably have this chat again.
You too.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, that was Chad Vandermark, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, if I can say this quick, tomorrow the Archer Jones show will come back. It will be later on in the afternoon, probably like around 2 o'clock. So, and got a lot to say on about that. So, y'all just stay tuned about that. You want to listen to any, podcasts that I've done in the past or, any past shows, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/WFSRadioNetwork, or you can also look for past episodes on iTunes. Got too big. Just look for WFSR Radio Network, and you'll find and find us even when we started. And also, you can also find like past episodes on Tone Deaf Radio as well. So the episode aftermath as well. So let's get out of here. I got to make my predictions on the tonight's show with WWE Battleground going on. So I'm going to start doing that. So again, thanks everybody for listening. I'm going to post this up on my page. And you guys, hopefully y'all listen to me tomorrow. But until then, this is Artrell. You guys have a good night and enjoy the pay-per-view tonight. And we will hope you listen to us tomorrow. Good night, everybody.